Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, hour number two, Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. A lot of calls to get to at 800-919-3776. And let's shout out the Islanders here real quick. Like our donuts there from Glazed Donuts.
Yeah, they trying to sabotage me, baby. I'm back, baby.
Blue and orange. We got a couple of donuts there with the Islanders logos on them.
I think I'm going to do legs for the first time twice in a week, son.
Why are you doing it twice?
Because they feel strong, B.
Oh, you feel good?
You know, you ever feel...
You almost feel like you didn't work hard enough?
Yeah. You know how you...
Wow.
And I just did them Sunday. You know when you feel strong...
No,
you feel like you.
I have no idea what that feels like.
You came here. You had you Mr. Plantitarian.
Don't give away all my secrets.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? You had your chest, your pec. I'm like, who's this dude with this pecs all up?
I rolled up on Bart's Impala.
I'm like, yo, son, who's this dude with these pecs all up in my side mirror, B? Had to step up. And who? Why is he coming up here walking up to me, son?
Bart's in the garage. Bart's in the garage. Typical on the phone, yapping away.
Amazon
got the window open. Impala. And I just walked, I casually walk up the side of the car.
Hey, yo, son.
Man, you had to see him jump.
Hey, yo,
you
son.
Almost put your window up.
I'm like, hold up, son. Thought I had my piece, but I don't ride with my piece. No more. Like, oh, that's out. That's my people. Okay. Woo. I thought I was about to set it off up in this piece, baby.
I didn't realize I was about to get popped. No idea.
Yeah, son.
Anyways, but thank you to the Islanders, and we're going to try to get the good mojo going here, man, because they need it. I don't know if you probably didn't see it.
Yeah.
But that loss on Monday.
Hurt. Yeah, that hurt. We should have sent them some edible arrangements.
3-0. They had that thing in hand. They just had to finish the game.
Everything is possible.
Man, unfortunately, this on brand for them was what we saw, which is wilting in the third period. It's so frustrating.
Did Legacy cry?
They're close.
Did Legacy cry?
Legacy.
Zach, did he cry?
Oh, Zach?
Yeah, Legacy. Did he cry? Did
no, he
cry
didn't.
In the car?
He didn't cry. But he was sending me.
Did he start swinging in the air like Trey?
I'm singing.
We can't close nothing.
He's like, you're going to sign me. I'll play that part.
You know what I'm saying?
He was sending some angry texts to me. Mm. Very, very.
Those hurt, man. When you win, like, I'm telling you, that can take the win out of yourselves. If you don't have great leadership, to be able to come back and combat that and say, you know what, it's just going to be a little harder to get the win.
Like
we lost one that we should have won.
They got some people they've got to weed out because what they have right there is a soft mentality.
Front runners.
And they fall apart. Like, I don't know if it's conditioning and they just don't have it in them. They used to be. Again, this is the team that got to back-to-back Final Fours just a couple of years ago under Barry Trotz. That team wore you down in the third period. This team?
They were like the Knicks.
Team,
they was grinders.
This team is the opposite of that, and that's, again, a personnel issue. And
attitude reflect leadership.
It's a shame because, actually, the first two games, they were very competitive with Carolina. And got to bring it home now at UBS. That's Thursday night. So, anyways, that's that.
I ain't going to lose to a team below the Mason-Dixon line that's not the Lightning, son.
No, I mean, Carolina's been good every year, but okay.
I don't care no more.
No?
Okay. Nah, we going straight like that.
All right. Well,
you legacy franchise.
Drake May, who seems to be the object of a lot of teams' desire as far as the quarterback to take after the two obvious first choices, was on Sportsmanlike, you know, Chris Canty's national morning show vehicle
straight
on
up.
ESPN Radio, asked if he would be shocked if he didn't go at least in the top three.
I wouldn't think I'd be surprised. It's easy to kind of, you know, mock drafts and see, you know, all the same teams picking me in these mock drafts, but you never know what they're really thinking, you know, inside of these front offices. So I'm just ready to go wherever, ready to compete, and ready to get, you know, get to my new city.
Seems like the right answer.
So tell me this. We know that the now we believe that the Giants want a quarterback.
I think it's pretty clear
It's pretty clear.
Yeah.
But New England, and I talked to a former New England Patriots. I was cleaning his car, whatever.
He was
I mean, you're just telling on somebody now.
Yeah, let me shut up then.
I was cleaning his car. You already told me where you were.
Okay, well, all right. Never mind. Let's delete that. All right, let's put it back. It's a new regime, right? Mm-hmm. It's a new regime.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mayo may have a different philosophy than was that of Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick loved moving down and
Gerard Mayo's
value.
A new coach, right? Yeah. In New England for everybody who doesn't know.
So moving back and collecting picks and stuff like that. That was his philosophy. They did that for years and mm-hmm. thought they can acquire all these draft picks and he'll be able to find these hidden gems. And every once in a while, he would strike. I think what he did a couple years ago with Kyle Duggar was a diamond in the rough.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think, okay, would New England really move back and rebuild? Because if you're New England, you're hoping never to be three again. Like, this might be when is the last time that New England ever picked top five? Like, I understand that they got
Drew Bledsoe,
right? You know what I'm saying? They got, so that was what, 30 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like, I don't expect, like, that's the thing. You don't anticipate being up here anymore, right? Where if the Giants trade their first round draft pick and they go with a Drake May and he sits for a year, and that's great.
It's actually a better situation, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm saying that's great because you'll get their first pick next year. And you don't anticipate them being any better because a move for a quarterback this year doesn't make you any better this year. Makes you better next year when you get rid of Daniel Jones, you get all this salary cap space, and you won't have a first-round draft pick. So I would ask our listeners, would you rather them draft Drake May this year?
If he's there.
If he's there. Or would you rather them take Malik Nabers and Michael Penix Jr. in the second round or possibly the late first round, because you know teams like Kansas City will love to move out if they've already identified that they're still going to get who they want anyway.
Well, again, let's get all the other perspective here on everybody that is preparing for this draft. And
Michael,
we'll be working
Michael Penix, if you talk skill-wise, if he didn't have the knee injuries,
I know
he would be number one or number two in this draft with what he did this year. And then he ran a 4.6.
And then there's the kid,
4.5. I'm
sorry, the kid from Florida State.
Well, that's the stop. That's for us.
Yeah, but still, other teams are going to be on this too.
Jordan Travis.
That's why I'm saying, I wonder if there's other teams that also are looking at it as, you know, again, think of the Patriots. I can get draft capital. I'll get that guy. I've got Jacoby Brissett who can give me a year, and I could get that guy where I need him in a year, and that could be my better play. You know what I mean? If you're not sold on all in, very top of the draft, and then it's that pressure of he's got to play, he's got to be great, all that stuff,
yeah,
you could be thinking of it as, I need draft capital because we're doing a reset, and I can still get that guy. So anyways, here's some perspective, all right? Again, these are the people that are going to be calling the draft and working the draft. The Drake May stuff. Here's Reese Davis on Drake May.
I have, for a couple of years, been on the Drake May bandwagon. I would consider taking Drake May 1. I know they're not going to. And I think a lot of this, I've jokingly said to my buddy Pete Thamel that I have tired of the Drake May blasphemy over the, you know, over the last several weeks. I think people are going to go wherever he winds up, most likely 3, I think. But wherever he goes, people are going to say, oh, wow, I guess he is good. You know, I think he's going to be a sensational pro.
All right, that's Reese Davis from ESPN Radio. How about Mel Kiper Jr., who's on with DNR all the time?
I think he needs a little time. I think he's got a ton of talent. This year didn't go the way he wanted late in the year. That's why he's not going number one. He could have challenged Caleb Williams, I thought, with a great year. He didn't have that kind of season. He's got to work on his accuracy, consistency, shorten up and then tighten up that delivery a little bit. He's 21 years of age. When he gets in a rhythm, he's lights out. He can move. He's tough. He's smart. He's very coachable. He wants to be great. So there's really a lot to like. That's why he's the 6th highest rated player on my big board. But to say he's better right now or more highly rated than Caleb Williams never happened. I couldn't put him ahead of Jaden Daniels because Jaden had the great year and he has a great skill set. Drake May has the skill set but didn't have the great finish. That's why Jaden got the nod. So I think he deserves to be the 3rd pick overall to New England.
All right, and there's that. Now, Ryan Clark from Get Up This Morning wants to put a stop to all this talk about the Giants trading up for a quarterback, and he says this.
To me, you take wide receiver Malik Nabers. No, I think we have
not the quarterback.
Not
if
the quarterback.
He falls to
not
you.
The quarterback. You got to love the quarterback, right? The last time this team picked at six, Daniel Jones was sitting there, and they picked Daniel Jones because that's the quarterback that they had to take. That's the quarterback that they settled on, and that's the reason you're in this position again. Let's not let history repeat itself. People say that success leaves footprints. Well, you know what else? Failure leaves chalked out bodies, right? So let's make good decisions based on what we've seen in our history. If the quarterback's your guy, you get him. If he's not, you pick a good player at that position.
I mean, he makes it, like I said, they have no playmakers.
Right.
That's the thing that scares me
and
the most.
Right, because Drake May struggled because a lot of his playmakers went to the NFL. So him coming here is putting him in the same situation, which we saw him fail in.
And if Daniel Jones can get right and you get him a playmaker, you never know. Maybe you go, well, you know what? We have our guy.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed. I think this is like you can't repair this relationship because Daniel Jones knows that you don't believe in him. You're trying to replace him. So I don't think you can repair this relationship. I think Daniel Jones is looking for another opportunity, another chance. You know, I think we'll see Daniel Jones out there like Baker Mayfield trying to restock his claim and say, hey, I'm going here and I'm going to get an opportunity, you know, to start and to reset my career. It's going to be interesting with Minnesota, right? Because Minnesota is definitely here. Sam Darnold is not going to be the starting quarterback on their roster.
Yeah,
so we know
clearly
that they're here. But
yeah, Minnesota is going to be aggressive.
But, I mean, listen, they made the move with Houston to get Houston's first round draft pick this year. So next year, they don't have a first round draft pick. They swap with Houston. So I think that they're all in for a quarterback. I don't know if Denver has enough ammunition because mm-hmm. all the draft capital that they've lost over the years with the Russell Wilson trade, they don't have any future. They're going to be giving up 26 picks just like, you know, the Jets gave up for Hassan Reddick. So I'm interested to see. But the draft starts at 3, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody knows that. We all know the first two picks.
3 and 4, 3, 4, and even 5.
It that's why. The beginning of this draft is going to be wild.
Because I can see Harbaugh moving out, too, if he thinks he's won a right tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And that right tackle is, you know, Funga or somebody, one of those.
Quagga, right.
Quagga.
All right, this Spartan Han, Alan Han, Bart Sky. The second annual DiPietro and Rothenberg pregame party is coming up on Thursday, May 2nd. Come out and see the live broadcast starting from 6 a.m. at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset, steps away from the Manhasset train station on LIRR. After the show, they're going to take the train to Citi Field for the matinee game against the Cubs. It's the pregame party with Rick and Dave on Thursday, May 2nd. It is brought to you by Montauk Brewing Company. Celebrate the no-frills good life with Montauk Brewing Company, maker of New York's favorite craft beer, Wave Chaser IPA, a highly approachable brew that is packed with tropical hops and delivers endless flavor. Chase your wave. And by, of course, Zing Zang, America's favorite Bloody Mary brand. Thank you. Now it's even easier to enjoy a Bloody Mary with their pre-mixed cocktails available in convenient cans and party-sized bottles. Just open, pour, and enjoy. And please, Bart, Zing Zang
responsibly.
Yes, absolutely. You know what time it is right now, don't you?
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite time of the year.
Well, tell me about
it. Of the week.
Tell me.
Oh, guys. Please, are you ready?
Yeah, I am ready.
It's the most anticipated segment of the week. Yes. It's Triple H. Come to play the game. Well, what game does Han have for us today? It's time for Han's Hoop Hierarchy, brought to you by Sandwell Institute for Pain Management. What you got for us?
Basketball is my favorite sport.
Having a hard time figuring out where things fit?
Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
You're in the right place.
What I say when it comes to this basketball team is the law.
Here's Han's Hoops Hierarchy.
Game. Blouses.
All right, Bart Scott. What we're going to do this week is based off of what we saw on Monday night, which was an incredible finish in a playoff game for the Knicks. And many, many people that I have seen in the last couple of days talking about it, they've all said, have you ever seen anything like that? Where would you rank that all time in Knicks history? And I said, you know what? That would make a great list. So today's list, Bart, is the best finishes in Knicks playoff history. Finishes now I'm talking about. So The beginning was Willis Reed walking out on the court. You know, here comes Willis. That doesn't count because it's a beginning, right? It's a start of something. Then they ended up winning that game in Game 7, 1970. Obviously, that one is the greatest moment in the franchise's history. But I'm talking about big finishes, improbable wins, big moments. So let's begin, shall we?
We shall.
With
number five.
Number five. Well, here's Marvin Clyde on MSG.
It's a four-point game, 123-119. Isaiah hitting a second three-point field goal.
And that was a 30-footer.
Well, that's not Clyde.
Harris King, yes. 44 points for Bernard King.
And he hit that with two defensive players on him.
Yeah, that wasn't Clyde. That was, by the way, Bart, April of 1984. Game 5 in Detroit. First round. Bernard King, 44 points.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Overtime win.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Over Isaiah Thomas and the Detroit Pistons.
Oh, we naming names?
And Bernard King in overtime was unstoppable. I believe he actually got the game. The rebound that sealed the game also at the very end.
Yeah, thanks for
to eliminate the Pistons.
He's going
to
pick scabs.
And the Knicks advance. Even though Bernard King averaged over 40 points a game in that series. Over 40 in a series! But it was the overtime win in a Game 5 clinching game on the road that sent the Knicks into the second round.
We weren't the bad boys yet.
No, they weren't. And you know what? Isaiah always references that series and says that's when we knew how we had to take it up a notch. Losing that is what kind of set them towards being more maniacal about winning. So that was impressive. Okay.
So y'all screwed Jeffrey one way or another.
That was number five.
Number four.
Number four. Well, we just heard it and just saw it.
Inbound is knocked away by Maxey. Gets the ball back. Falls to the floor. Stolen by Hart. DiVincenzo three-pointer. No good. Hartenstein, the offensive rebound. He kicks it out to Anunoby. DiVincenzo again. Knocks it down! Knicks lead! 13 seconds to go! Timeout, Philadelphia!
Pat O'Keefe with the call on 98.7 ESPN. Mike Breen gave it a double bang on MSG. Bang! I can't even do it.
Monica was so funny. Well, there's no way I could have laid out that long.
Yeah, she did a great job just letting it go and letting Pat finish it.
He got the ball! Shut the hell up, man. Let me do my work,
babe. You're right. You would be.
I'd have been saying, bang! But that was, come on, babe.
That was a great call.
You bring
call.
Another man's call to my air.
You'd be stepping all over that call.
I've been tap dancing on that man.
That actually would be hilarious that you'd be doing all the stuff that Don always gets. We always get on the case.
What?
Number three.
No. Wait, I need to explain. That comeback win, by the way, for the Knicks, it was the first time in the last 25 years that a team trailed by as many as 5 points, if not more, with 30 seconds to go in a playoff game and came back to win in regulation. Other times, teams have come back to force overtime and win, but it has never happened where a team has won the game in regulation. So that was history we saw on Monday night.
Number three.
Magical year that it was. Let's go back to 1999. Game 3. Knicks Pacers. And with 11.5 seconds on the clock, the Knicks were inbounding the basketball and they were down 91-88.
11 to 9, 10 seconds to go. Ward with a pass tip, but handled by Johnson. Johnson is three-point territory, but guarded tightly. Johnson cuts left, now fires a three. It is good, and he's fouled! It counts, and he is fouled! Larry Johnson looking for the lead. The free throw is good! A four-point play by Larry Johnson, and the Knicks have defeated the Pacers in dramatic fashion.
Now, everybody remembers that four-point play by Larry Johnson. What they forget, first of all, he hits it right in front of Larry Bird, which was nothing better than that. But Larry Bird was the coach of the Pacers at the time.
I'm the real Larry.
That game three was pivotal because the series was tied at two, and you're at home, and you got to win that game, and it actually vaulted them, obviously, to go on and win that series and go to the finals as an eighth seed. But the shot itself was great. The free throw was the important part in the famous scene of everybody celebrating because you feel like the game's over. But it was Chris Childs ran up to LJ to calm him down and say, hey, you got to make the free throw. And he did with 5.7 seconds to go. Then Reggie Miller missed at the end in a frantic finish that felt a lot like what we saw Monday night when Joel Embiid put up a frantic three that would have tied it, and he missed. And so that game was definitely gave you the momentum in that series. The Knicks ended up winning that series and going to the NBA Finals. Let's see. The next one, Bart, is also part of 99. So?
Number one.
No, number two. We just did number three.
Number deuce.
Okay, number two. Same year, earlier in the playoffs, the clinching game in Miami. Gus Johnson, take it away.
Van Gundy calls a play a triangle. That usually means something for Ewing. Out in Houston.
Houston ducks under. Got it! With 8 tenths left.
That is not bad.
He is the hero on a tough day. He seals the deal.
A sweet redemption for Allen Houston.
And the New York Knicks have become the second team in NBA history to knock off a number one. An 8 over a number one, only the second time in NBA history.
I thought that was Gus Johnson, isn't it? Gus Johnson had the famous running jumper call. It was triangle down, Allen Houston with the play, Allen Houston with the shot that bounces in. 9 tenths of a second to go, and that clinched the series win on the road in Miami. They were the top seed. The Knicks knocked them off as the 8th seed, and they advanced, and that set them on a course of what was a dream run to the NBA Finals. That is one of the great shots. It won a series, so of course that's a great shot, but it is not the greatest. There's still one more to go.
Thank you, Pistons, for Allen Houston not being able to get along with Grant Hill.
Okay, and then there's one more.
Number one.
And then number one, because this was the most epic moment that you could have if you were a Knicks fan in the 90s and you were waiting and waiting and waiting for it to finally happen. Patrick Ewing has his moment against the Pacers.
And the Pacers are expecting some kind of pick and roll play here between Starks and Ewing. Ewing with the pick. Here's Starks. John Starks with the top. Ewing!
Patrick Ewing, the putback dunk on the Starks miss, put the Knicks up. They still had to get a stop. They did, but that was it. That was the finish. That was the moment. That goes in, and you knew, finally, the Knicks and Patrick Ewing advanced to the NBA Finals. They finally slay the Dragon. They beat the Pacers. He goes up on the scorer's table, his arms outreached, hugging the entire building. What a moment that was. What a play that was.
Did he?
And that is the five best, top five finishes in Knicks playoff history.
Top five.
Did he crash that hard because he knew it was John Stark shooting?
How dare you?
I love you, John. Give me a free Kia, man. All right.
Give me a free Kia.
That's Triple H. Hans Hoop Hierarchy brought to you by Sanwell Institute for Pain Management. For a pain-free life, visit sanwellpain.com today.
All right, 800-919-3776.
Oh, John shooting! Crash!
For the Patrick Ewing. Did I say Ewing?
Hi, Ryan.
Yeah, you did. You did, right before the cut.
Hi, Ryan.
Why
Patrick Ewing. Oh, no. That's going to live in infamy. Oh, well. Audio file's coming
up. Did you miss
next.
Something?
What?
Maybe the audience could tell us if you missed one.
If I missed one?
Yeah, somebody gonna come, Dave the Busher.
You know, there was a game where Richie Guerin hit a leaner. Okay.
Senator Bradley.
He hit an underhand free throw.
He broke the peach basket.
Exactly. The road to the NBA Finals starts now. New customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You can bet on three-pointers made in the game. Celtics always hit the over on that. Over under point totals, this Knicks-Sixers series is going to be under. First basket score. Do your homework. Watch a team. See what play they run every single time. First possession. That's the easiest thing to do. Just go to FanDuel.com/Allen. That's easy, too. You can get started. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and older, physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable. Bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. The Knicks have a 2-0 series lead as the scene shifts to Philadelphia for Game 3 tomorrow night. Yesterday on the K-Show, Don said a big reason why the Knicks have that lead is because they have the desire.
What we found out in these two games, especially last night, this Knick team has a will and a desire to win games. Like, they don't get down on themselves, they never give up, and they've got that compete that I, quite frankly, don't know the Philadelphia 76ers have. I don't know if they've got the same kind of resiliency. They haven't had to, because they knew Embiid was going to come back, and they didn't exactly survive without him. Yeah, they're fantastic when he's in there, but he's not at 100%. You saw the way that game was winnable on Saturday, yet the Knicks were the better team down the stretch.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, Bart and Han. Alan Hall, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number.
You better stay low.
Without further ado, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call.
What, Jake don't want to get it back? No, never mind.
Audio files.
Audio file.
I actually think Jake did a pretty good job the 2 days that you weren't here. He did audio files yesterday, not
so
Dino.
I'm the pressure. That's what it is.
Yeah, I think he was intimidated.
Your big little brother standing here to make you okay.
I think I had less work to do, so I was a little more less focused.
For the people that say
it could be that. Audio files on 98.7 ESPN is driven by Ramsey Mazda. So a lot was made out of the Knicks Sixers game two about what happened at the end. And of course, the Sixers felt like there were fouls that weren't called. According to the NBA, they are correct. The NBA said that there were three instances where Tyrese Maxey was fouled and no call was made. They also said that Nick Nurse was trying to get a timeout and the referee didn't see him. It did say that when people say, well, what about Maxey's push on Josh Hart? They called that one incidental. Which is, I don't know about that, but okay. But there were other things, I think, that happened there, too, that they said a foul should have been called and wasn't in the last 2 minutes. So, in the end, that's what the NBA ruled. It's still a win for the Knicks. It's still a 2-0 series lead. Tyrese Maxey was asked if he is at least at peace knowing that they were right.
Yeah, I guess you say peace, for sure. But I think what it did for us is gave us reassurance. You know what I mean? Like, we got to use that and put it to fuel to the fire. It is what it is. We down 2-0. And like I said yesterday, if we dwell on it, we're going to be down 0-3. But we can't dwell on it. We got to go out there and do what we know we're capable of doing. Go out there and execute the game plan and win two games at home. And then at the end of the day, after Thursday, we win that game 2-1 is the closest series can be. Somebody has to beat them 2-1. It's going to be a dogfight.
All right, Nick Nurse, any more thoughts? You had a lot to say after game two.
Clock hit midnight after that game, and I moved on. I always give it till midnight, and then we move on. Get ready for the next one.
All right, Tom Thibodeau, any thoughts that he has about the report saying that there were fouls that should have been called?
No, I'm more concerned with the 46-minute report. No, and I mean that. You know, I knew they couldn't call a foul there. I'm watching the way Jalen's being guarded.
And that's something also that the Knicks want to talk about. Jalen Brunson has struggled in the first two games. He has hit, what has he hit, 16 of 55? Like, he is 3 for 10 or something. He has been bad shooting-wise. They have done a great job on him defensively. But Jalen Brunson was asked, are you happy with the looks you're getting?
Yeah, for the most part, I'm shooting the shots that I've been shooting have been the ones I've been making all year. I mean, I got to obviously be better and make the shots, but also you gotta give him a lot of credit. It is what it is at this point. He's gotta be better.
He has 2 days to figure it out. At least he has one now. Meanwhile, Bart, did you see after the game that Joel Embiid?
We're the better team.
We're the better team.
I Mikimi Mutombo.
And he said, "We're gonna win this series." He made the guarantee. We're gonna win this series. So Jalen Brunson was asked, "Did you happen to see those comments?"
No, I mean, we see it, but it's nothing we can really do. It's the playoffs, so if you need any more ammunition now, then I don't know if you're in the right business.
First of all,
it's a great answer.
We need
that's a great answer.
We need Jalen Brunson to say, "You damn right, I saw it, and I'll be burning hell, you traitor." Guess what? I'm supposed to be on Team America. Take your ass to Team Cameroon and get my spot back. So guess what? I'm sending your ass home early so you can train for Team America. King Kunta.
I don't think you should call him that.
King Kunta?
No.
That's one of Kendrick Lamar's greatest things.
Okay, but it's just not necessary.
Okay. Joel.
Joel.
Yeah, let's call you by your American name. What's your African name?
It's Joel.
No, it's not.
No, that's what his father, who is African, named him. Joel.
No, let me tell you something. It's just like when you meet a dude that's from Asia, he's Asian, and he's to say his name, Larry. Yeah, that's his American name. What's your real name, son?
Joel is his real name.
No, I want to know his real name. All right, go check out Dikembe Mutombo's name. Look at his real name.
But his name is actually Dikembe Mutombo.
No, his name is Dikembe Mutombo Mupapo Tapo Dikapo Mutombo. I promise you.
I know he has a lot of names.
I guarantee you Joel got an African name. But he want to come over here and be American. You ain't American. Take your ass back and get my spot back. Come over here and try and run my spot. Joel forgot who he is.
No, his name.
His middle name is Hans.
Yeah.
Joel Hans.
Yeah.
Nah, hell nah. He got a secret name, I'm telling you.
He's more my brother than your brother.
Joe, huh? I tell you what, man. He all the way faded. Hey, boy, you talk about acculturation, man. Come on, man.
A what?
Acculturation. Came over here wanted to be American.
His father's name was Thomas.
Nah, it ain't his dad, real name.
His mother's name was Christine. I'm serious. I'm not making this up.
And they were both born in Cameroon.
He was born in Cameroon.
Come on, man.
What? Come on, what?
Come on, man. Ain't nobody named their kid Joel and Christine. And stop it, man.
I'm telling you, his father's name was Thomas.
Let's go to all
his
the
other, mother's name.
Let's go to all the other Africans in the league. Bold Bird. Dikembe Mutombo Mupapo Mutapo. Come on, man. We doing this for the real Americans.
Why do you have a hard time with this?
We doing this for the real Americans.
I don't know. I'm telling you right now.
His we taking this personal because he took his
are
spot.
Tom and Christine.
Man, go play for Cameroon, man.
You're being.
Quit trying to take our boy's spot.
Unnecessarily.
My boy, no, because my boy.
Jalen Brunson handled this right. Why?
No,
rather
did.
Than fire
no,
back.
I won't.
You got to get through it. No.
We're going to hold that.
If you need more motivation then you're in the wrong business.
We're going to hold
perfect
that.
Perfect answer.
We're going to hold that until after we win.
Who's this we? You on the team now? You with us?
You want to know why I'm with y'all?
Are you with us?
Yeah, you want to know why I'm with y'all?
Because you don't want to see Captain America win, do you?
Right, exactly.
You are so mad.
I'm so mad, man. I've been mad for this. How long?
I know.
For 3 months. That ain't right, man. Oh, go play for Africa, God. Man. You ain't American.
Last but not least, just again, all the other games yesterday.
I tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
We should have a bunch of Americans go play for Cameroon.
Can you?
You should.
I didn't know you could
Why
do
not?
That.
He can go play for America.
You have to have some type of blood relation to Cameroon to play. You can be eligible.
They are given citizenship in Africa because they're trying to right the wrong for the Middle Passage. Mm-hmm. So you can go to a lot of African countries and say you want to be a dual citizen.
So
Cameroon should stack the deck. All the dudes that couldn't make it over here.
Jalen Brunson's going to go play for Cameroon.
Everybody, go play for Cameroon and go kick America's ass.
I'm not going to get to the rest of this. That is
you know what I'm saying? Like, you want to take our spots? So we're going to go over and take your spots. And we want to get paid in real gold because the motherland got all the resources. We want to get paid. And you see they got, I think it's Zimbabwe, they got the first cryptocurrency that's backed by gold because they just got gold just in the backyard. Dude, they go out there, they dig in the garden. Oh, man, I found a nugget.
I found more gold. Is it really true?
I swear to God. I think it's Zimbabwe or somewhere like that. The first cryptocurrency.
Where do they have vibranium?
Oh, that's Wakanda.
Yeah, why aren't we getting some of that? Why can't we get that out into the
right,
world?
It's right next to the cassava melons with Hakeem.
Yes. Thought you'd have more for that one. Okay. Well, that is...
I said Hakeem. I just mixed I know Black Panther and Coming to America.
And Coming to America, which I thought you had another line.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is audio.
That's audio files.
Let's go Cameroon.
By Ramsey Mazda. It's the experience of driving a new Mazda and buying a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Who would Mike Tannenbaum choose if he were running the Giants? What pick would he make and why?
Mm.
He's going to join us next to discuss. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Barton Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. All right, we'll get back to calls at 800-919-3776. But let's get into more of the NFL draft conversation. Of course, the draft tomorrow night. And in the middle of all the coverage tomorrow night will be one Mike Tannenbaum, who's one of the best that we have here about this stuff because of his front office experience. That's why we bring him in. Mike T, I have one simple question for you. With all the talk about what the Giants might be doing and the suggestion that they really are in this thing to get a quarterback, is it in their interest to move up if they can get three or if they can get even to four, whatever it is, do you think they should be aggressive in this draft and get the third best quarterback available?
Absolutely. For them to get to where they want to go and compete with Philadelphia, with Dallas, with Green Bay, San Francisco, you have to sit there and say, can Daniel Jones, who does have some ability, can we consistently get to where we want to go with Daniel Jones at quarterback? And I think, unfortunately, given his issues of turnovers and just not being available, they absolutely should go get a quarterback.
Oh, okay. They should go get a quarterback. What is it going to cost them?
Well, to go from 4 to 6, it shouldn't be prohibitive. You go back to Sam Darnold, you know, that should be in the neighborhood, Bart, of two second round picks, I think, would be close to getting it done. And if I'm Arizona, and I get one of those two receivers in Neighbors or Marvin Harrison, I think that's a win-win.
What if they have to move to three? You think that New England's going to pass on a quarterback? I mean, I know how they used to do business under Bill Belichick, but this is a team that needs to get a franchise quarterback as well. I mean, Jacoby Brissett's no spring chicken. And so what's their plan then? Do they expect to be in the top five again to be able to get one of these quarterbacks in the future?
Well, I think if you're New England, you take a quarterback as well, Bart. And, that's why to me, the draft, I've said for months, I think the draft starts at four with Arizona, because Arizona's come out and said, hey, we feel great about Kyler Murray, which to me, I would have some issues just given, his injury history. But nonetheless, they have to sit there and say, hey, should we go out and get someone, let's say, like Marvin Harrison, or should we move back and get either Roman Dunze, Malik Neighbors, or Marvin Harrison and a bunch of other picks? So to me, I think everything starts at four and goes from there.
So what level of quarterback are you comfortable with the Giants taking? I mean, because if we talk about New England taking it, so are we talking about J.J. McCarthy? Is that like the line of demarcation after him? Is that worth giving up two second-round draft picks for J.J. McCarthy?
I think that's it. I mean, I love Michael Penix. I think he has a chance, Bart, to be really, really special. But obviously, he has some injury concerns of his own. Now, in fairness, the last few years at Washington, he's been totally healthy. But I wouldn't give up a lot for him, just given his injury proclivities. But J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, go pay the bill, go get him. And I think you'll look back and be really happy you did that.
But these moves can't be separately independent, right? Because if you give up two second-round draft picks, you think they can do like what the Jets did, giving up 2026 and hold on to their 2022? Because I feel like if they do that, they're not going to pick high the next year, because it doesn't help them so much this year, because Daniel Jones is going to be the starter. Maybe you're hoping that Daniel Jones plays at such a high level that maybe you can trade him by the trade deadline or something like that, or maybe move him in the offseason. But does that suggest that it's a secondary move? What do you think about if they do make that trade and give up the twos, that a secondary move is to maybe try and trade for either Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins? Would that cost like a second-round draft pick to be able to do that? So then they can still secure the future quarterback, but still get the receiver of the future as well?
Look, I kind of push back on that. I'm not so sure that J.J. McCarthy is not better than Daniel Jones right now. So, especially given the injuries that Daniel Jones is dealing with. So the best players played, Bart, as you well know, and I would rule out, again, that from day one, J.J. McCarthy gives you the best chance to win.
Right, so you're high on him then.
But who's he throwing to, though, Mike? That's what I'm saying. We still have to get a weapon. I'm saying how do we go out and get a weapon this year, too?
Maybe after June 1st you trade for Ayuk. I think there's going to be there will be a number of receivers, and maybe, later on it's Malachi Corley in the third round. There'll be other receivers available. I wouldn't let that dictate the decision.
Tell me this, with the news of Ross St. Brown breaking the market, becoming the highest paid receiver in the league, is it becoming more and more difficult for Cincinnati and for the 49ers to be able to retain Brandon Ayuk or come up with a deal? Because it seems like the price tag is going up. And Brandon Ayuk can say, listen, I know he can't compare his numbers to Tyreek Hill, but he damn sure can compare his numbers and his utilization to St. Brown. So it's the new number now for any receiver, 30-plus?
I think so. And, that's going to be there for about 10 minutes until Justin Jefferson. I think when it all settles, Justin Jefferson will rightfully be on top of that entire discussion.
Now, Mike, I'm going to ask you a Jets question off of this, because I do think there could be residual here. Can you, first of all, yes or no, simply, will four quarterbacks go, you think, in the top 10?
I think I'm looking at the top five. I don't think J.J. McCarthy makes it to the Giants.
Okay.
I think Minnesota, has to come up for it.
Okay, so with four quarterbacks going there, that does slide other players up. Is it possible that the Jets at 10 could get one of the wide receivers, the top three wide receivers, whether it's a Dunze or Neighbors, by 10 because of all these quarterbacks pushing the rest of the field up?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the more fundamental decision is, you know, what do we do? You know, Morgan Moses missed three games a year ago. You know, Tyron Smith's durability issues have been well documented. So I think that's something, you know, they're going to have to strongly consider in terms of, like, you know, what do we do here? And I love Brock Bowers. And some of those other players, Alan, you talked about, mm-hmm. I think are terrific. But at the end of the day, like, I just don't think you can stray from offensive line, just given, you know, Aaron Rodgers being 40, coming off of an injury. I know it's not the sexiest pick, but give me a healthy Aaron Rodgers over 17 games and, you know, Brock Bowers and, you know, six games of Tyrod Taylor. And look, Tyrod Taylor is a massive upgrade over Zach Wilson, but to me, it's about protection, protection, protection.
Yeah, that's a great point. And also, if you think about it, the tackle thing could also move down the line as well. When you push more quarterbacks into the top five, you're pushing other players out. I don't think Alt gets past the Titans, but it doesn't mean that he couldn't.
But here's why it's so great to talk to Tannenbaum, because he knows, you know, like the he knows the nuance of the positions.
Yeah.
Like, because it's a guy out there, Morgan from Arizona, that could you see maybe the Jets being aggressive and trading next year's number two for this year to maybe grab Morgan, and then you can really justify maybe getting a guy in the first round that's a skill position player that's going to help you put points on the board and go get a guy like Morgan in the second round and find a way to get a second round pick?
Yeah, well, you got to go find a second round pick, and there's so many teams that are going to need a tackle, like, you know, Washington at the top of the second, Dallas needs one, the Green Bay Packers desperately need a left tackle, so I don't think you're dealing from a position of strength in that scenario.
Mike, great stuff as always. I know you got to run.
Damn,
appreciate
Mike,
it. Thanks for giving
I got
us a
so
few
much
minutes.
More.
We'll get him back on.
Okay.
We'll get him back on, but he's
okay.
Got to work. Okay. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Mike Tannenbaum, again, he'll be on the coverage on the NFL draft, which is tomorrow night. And there's, again, a lot of intriguing possibilities at the very top of this draft. We'll get into those and more. We have your calls, 800-919-3776, as we head into the Power Hour. Coming up next, stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. The Knicks up 2-0 in their series against the Sixers. And maybe the best news for the Knicks is that, so far at least, it has not been the Jalen Brunson show. Yesterday in the K-Show, Don said that's allowing other Knicks to shine.
You might make the case the better long-term answer is that they win this series without Brunson, because it proves that it's not they're not just a one-trick pony, that there are other guys that you can rely on that can get the job done. And this team has always been greater than the sum of their parts, and that's why nobody appreciates them, because you've got to really watch to appreciate DiVincenzo and Hartenstein and Hart and McBride.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey. During tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.